Your weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a Bucks legend. This is Here District with Marcus Johnson, alongside his son and 1995 NCAA champion, Chris. Here's MJ.
All right, everybody, welcome to Here District. I am the captain of this vessel, Marcus Johnson. I got my first mate, Chris Johnson. I got a whole lot of Johnson on board today. And, we're the only father and son combination, tandem, duo, that's won a national championship at the same school, UCLA. What's up, Chris?
What's good, MJ?
Oh, man, I'm going to tell you what's good, bro. Just looking at these squares, right? And that square is in the literal sense, more figuratively, or not in the figurative sense, but in the literal sense, the squares that I'm looking at on my laptop, just the a bunch of apples of my eye, all my children, except for one. And we'll talk more about that later. But all my children are here representing, and so I guess what we should do is just start with. Josiah, introduce yourself and kind of what you're doing and what you're up to, and just give the people a little bit of insight into who you are. That Joe, I know they know who you are, Joe, but so keep it short because we know you already, man.
I'm looking at all these squares as well. It's a lot of children you have. Very good looking though. I can look at every one of these squares and see good looking across the board. But Josiah Johnson. I'm the host, executive producer of Gills Arena, presented by Underdog. Whoop, whoop. Pleased to be back on Here District. Was here for episode number 17, not number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. But the 17th episode, for some reason, y'all were playing me to the left, but happy to be back on here with all the family. Happy New Year to everybody.
All right. Next up, Jay Marcus. What's going on, bro?
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Joshua. Good to be back here. From last time, I was still active, still doing my thing. But happy to be here. Happy New Year, everybody. Love all y'all. Everybody looks good.
All right, Cyrus.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Cyrus, the youngest brother of the Big Johnsons. Right now, I'm just working on doing a little background work, trying to get my foot in the acting game. I've done a couple shows, I think, one called The Land, where I play like a background Steeler player. That was pretty fun. Played a couple years Division I mid-major basketball at a school called Sam Houston State. So nice to be here. Good to see everybody.
I'm sorry, I got to interrupt. He's not doing background work. His first big role was a principal role. He getting dunked on by Russell Westbrook over in over at UCLA in Poly Pavilion. That's his first big thing. He got the full shot. We got a poster here getting dunked on by Russell Westbrook. That's his first job.
The headband on, number 12, yeah. I think. Number 12 in black, the headband on. So
number 12 with the updo, with the headband looking sweet. Yeah, no, it ain't no background work. That's not what we started off with, the principal work, high level. We on screen. We're getting poster work there.
That's how we doing. All right, Shiloh, you're up. I'm going to say Mo for last. Go ahead, Shiloh.
Hi, I'm the youngest. I'm 16. I'm playing basketball at Windward, and yeah.
Okay. How tall are you, Shiloh? How tall are you?
Like 6'1", 6 foot.
Wow. And just your game, where's your game at now? What you got going for you? What do you like to do? What do you see yourself projecting out as a ball player? A center?
No, I would say like play anywhere, shoot the three, push off the dribble. Rebound, all of that. Just like be very versatile.
Okay. Now, just last but not least, Mariah, he'll talk about what he's done in the past, but he was in, what were you at, Mo, in Jamaica, and you got a bigger round of applause than Usain Bolt when you got introduced down in Jamaica. But tell us about yourself. Who you are.
What's up, y'all? It's Mariah. I fall somewhere in the middle of all these Johnsons. It's good to be here, though. I'm doing occupational therapy. I work at an inpatient rehab facility out in Texas. And, just taking it one day at a time. Got married last year. Just been making the most of it. So I'm glad to be here at the Here District. But you want to hear about Jamaica?
Yeah. Tell us about that Jamaica story real quick.
Yeah, so there was an award show called the Youth View Awards, and they reached out and wanted to know if I would present an award there, just fly out there just to present an award. I don't remember exactly what the award was for, but I know when I got on the mic, the first thing I said was Wagwan. I hit him with that real easy. Crowd went crazy. You know, I got to present the award with Usain Bolt. So I don't know if I got a bigger one or not, but, you know, we were in the same vicinity when I got the loud applause. So it was a good experience. It was crazy to look back on.
But they knew who you were. They knew who you were from the Ball Hill Show.
Oh, yeah. After I presented the award, I'm walking by the stands, you know, hugging people, dabbing people up. And I didn't even realize the show reached out there. So that was something new for me, but it was an amazing experience, man. It was dope out in Jamaica.
So now this reminds me of these squares. There was an old show that I don't think you guys are familiar with. Chris, maybe, but a show called The Brady Bunch. Anybody, Chris, you remember that show? Probably before your time. May have seen reruns. But I wrote a little ditty about the Brady Bunch. Yeah, exactly. So here's the story about a guy named Marcus. Had a bunch of kids by a couple of different girls. All were fine, just like their mothers. The boys all had natural Jerry curls. The Johnson Bunch.
Shiloh, what do you think? Shiloh, what do you think about that?
Need some work.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta
go, Shiloh.
I gotta smooth out the rough spots, but it's all good. So look, I want to have some fun. First, let's jump into, growing up Johnson, and the memories that you all might have, just in terms of not even basketball related. But movies, what movies do you guys remember? Any lines of movies, anything that stands out growing up as a Johnson? And just jump in where you want to jump in at.
First thing I was going to say is both these motherfuckers is crazy. For whatever reason, I don't know where it came from or whatever. That's the first line that pops in my head growing up Johnson. What you got to say, Joe?
Yeah. Going to get my other gun. Everywhere I go, Mo, people come out of the woodwork. Airports. Raymond, is that you? I'm like, yeah, no, it ain't Raymond. It ain't Raymond. This ain't white man can't jump.
Ain't me. Ahead, Joe. Ain't me.
So obviously we span a bunch of different generations here, all the way from the 70s to the 2000s. But I think for me, kind of being younger, going and seeing Hollywood Shuffle in the theater as a kid, and I had to be 4 or 5 years old at that point, not really understanding the magnitude and gravity of what Robert Townsend represented, and kind of that movie being one of the first in Black culture to actually get like a national release like that, and the impact it had on me. I was blessed to work with Robert Townsend later on in life, doing a show with Ava DuVernay and Michael Starberry called Colin in Black and White. He ended up directing the episode that I wrote. So that's, it was right, kind of like a full circle moment for me. And then the other one I'm going to say, super random, Chris, I know you'll appreciate this, but Terminator 2. So Terminator 2, when it came out, it was the biggest thing going. We thought all the movies were going to be sold out. We went and saw a random matinee. It was completely empty because everybody was so scared of having to wait in line to go see that movie. But going to seeing that in the theater, I think randomly in Westwood at that spot, I think it's like a CVS now that they converted it to. But yeah, a lot of my experiences in life are based on movie theaters. And I can remember just, different things. Obviously going to AMC in Century City back in the day, sneaking all the with the famous Star Deli or whatever it was, all the food in there and all that good stuff back in the day. But obviously, yeah, we all have a lot of impact, influence in cinema and culture. I think it guided and shaped a lot of us, obviously starting with you, Dad. And White Man Can't Jump, of course. Chris, yeah, you were in the movie. I got to be on set for a bunch of that stuff. We got to see you in character as Raymond every single day during that film when you refused to shave or and comb after your hair. Method actor.
But it's funny, Joe. So quick story. We had a game recently against the Washington Wizards. So Bub Carrington and Marvin Bagley III and a bunch of these guys, Joe, on the floor with these huge, huge afros. And so I did a little homage to Robert Townsend on the air. I was like, afros. And my partner Lisa didn't know what I was talking about, obviously. But it was Robert Townsend. It was Hollywood Shuffle, and I probably should have gave more background, but it's one of my all-time favorite movies. Superhero, get your ass back to work. I mean, I love that movie. There's some classic lines.
Yeah.
All right, Shiloh, give me your the movie that you can remember seeing a lot growing up, if there is one, or you tell me, what's going on?
I think probably the first one would be White Man Can't Jump. Like, I think that was the first time I realized, like, you weren't only like a basketball player, but you also did acting.
Thespian, yeah.
So I think, like, when you showed me that. That's when I started like doing the improv classes at school and stuff. So I think that opened like a new door of like realizing who you were.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Josh.
Man, honestly, your performance in Blue Chips always sticks out to me because it was like the first time I've ever seen you like just not cool with the glasses, just like complete geek and just like a nerd and like so timid, just like, we're gonna get some eyes. She joined some eyes. I was like, what is this voice this doing here? No, but then that's when I realized, oh, this dude be acting. So, you know, like Blue Chips for me was like that, you know, just that timidity and just all those kind of things, man. It was a really good performance, you know, really showcased her.
Anybody ever understand the impact of The Godfather? Christian, I mean, did we watch that a lot when you were growing up? I'm trying to recall. I mean, that's, yeah. I can sit down and watch that.
Yeah.
So that start was to finish right now.
Yeah, that was my era, I think, of being young. You know, they were a little younger. I was kind of in that era where you made me watch all the movies. So for me, no, not like that, but that included old school. Just think about it. Growing up, you know, you didn't want to see black and white, but MJ's making you watch, you know, Sergeant York, Damn Yankees, the movie with the Jets and the Sharks. What movie was that?
No, West Side Story. It's so a West Side Life.
So and Jimmy, he used to walk around Christmas time.
Mr.
Going
Potter,
there.
Mr. Potter, Merry Christmas, Merry, Merry Christmas, Mary. Mr. Potter.
Yeah, and so Angels with Dirty Faces too. You made me. For me personally, it was a combination of a lot of different things growing up with the movies. Like Joe had mentioned, you made sure we were at premieres too. So we stood in line for Purple Rain and they're colored purple. And I mean, all type of movies you took us to see, kind of legendary status, you know, waiting in line, having the whole movie experience. But one thing I do remember that I kind of, and I'm trying to verify this, it was about Joshua's childhood nickname. Now, was that movie was that out of Babette's Feast or?
Now, Madame Suvzatka with Shirley MacLaine. Madame Suvzatka. Shirley MacLaine. Okay. Madame Suvzatka. Okay. She was a piano teacher. One of her students, she called Babu. Oh, Babu.
So Joshua's nickname growing up was Babu, Baba Daba, or variations of it. We had a song called Go Babu,
Babu,
Go Go
Babu,
Babu,
Go Babu.
You know, Babu, well, yeah, so we used who? To do.
And he would start dancing. He would just start dancing in this like little walker. Literally, we like start that. Singing that.
All that to be said, I mean, I have a very rich memory of experiences with movies. MJ, you kind of opened up my eyes, my world to having a taste for weird movies, black and white, new, old school. You know, hey man, black and white, I had a thing against black and white movies growing up. Like I refused to watch anything in black and white, but after I saw that it could actually be some good stuff, because of MJ, you know, I started doing it. But that's for me, my core memories growing up.
Yeah.
Okay, so Cyrus, you know, and I want to delve into the genesis of this, and I'm trying to pull it up on my phone, but you can fill it in. I can't think of the name of the Polynesian director. You started telling me like some of your favorite directors, and this guy.
I think Taika Waititi.
That's Taika Waititi. And he had a movie that I think he won an Oscar.
Jojo Rabbit.
About the rabbit or something.
Yeah, that was a really good movie.
Yeah, Jojo Rabbit. And you turned me on to that. But you mentioned about three or four directors that I had never heard of, him being one. So where did your, you know, love, fascination, passion for filmmaking, you know, can you trace that and tell us?
Definitely stemmed from you. He played a big part in that, putting me on to like movies. I remember being a kid. Like, we're just chilling in the den watching Back to the Future. That was a favorite one of mine by Robert Zemeckis. You put me onto that. And even, I'd say Lost Boys. That was a fun, like, just putting me onto a bunch of 80s movies. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. Classic. Lord of the Flies, too. Wow.
All them damn vampires.
Yeah, they're noodles, Michael. Kiefer Sutherland. Man, that was cold, man. Yeah. Yeah, and that's good stuff, man. You know, I'm watching something right now, Billy Bob Thornton, Landman. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, that goes hard.
Oh, man, so check out Landman. If you ain't seen Landman, Is it Netflix, Josh? I'm not sure. I forget where the
Paramount
word
Plus.
Paramount Plus. But Landman with Billy Bob Thornton, the casting is impeccable. It's perfect. The writing is terrific. Sam Elliott. I mean, the casting of these old people, and I say that because I'm approaching 70, and so I'm thinking now, hey, you know, I could grab some of these old man roles now of guys 70 or older. So, yeah,
Dennis Haber has it on lock in your age group.
Yeah, he does.
Thanks for reminding me of that. He actually beat me out for Love and Basketball, and that was a story basically about me and Chris. You know, yeah. Me and Chris.
Not basically.
Yeah.
Full-time
shiesty Jack move.
Yeah, the Clipper, the dad, the former Clipper, the Crenshaw High School son.
Oh, yeah, we're going to change it to USC. Ha ha. Excuse me.
Yeah. I don't know if people realize how close that was. And the lady who wrote it and directed, Gina Blythe.
Gina Price Blythewood.
Yeah, and she was actually at UCLA, Chris, right, when you were there a couple of years older. Now, she says that she didn't base it on anything Johnson, but, hey, it's all good. You know, our imitation is the highest form of flattery, so I'm going to take it for what it's worth. So
She said that?
Yeah, she lied.
In an article, she didn't say that. They were asking her about where the inspiration came from.
Yeah, it's whatever.
She didn't mention Chris or Marcus or anything
whatever,
like that.
Whatever, MJ, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
We're Los Angelinos now.
Yeah, I was so... Just, anyway, it's a long story. I got a great story.
I read. That's not a Hear District story.
You know, I read for the Omar Epps part in front of Gina.
Did you?
Yeah, man. Come on.
I didn't know that.
Please. I read Dang, for Chris. A part, bro. I read yeah. for that.
Well, I actually read with Omar Epps, and he went completely off page mode, Josh. You know, when you do an audition, you got everything all prepared, you got the lines all memorized, and he didn't say one line that was in the screenplay, and it was just all just ad lib. And, you know, it was a, I got to admit, he caught me off guard. It was a bit of a struggle, but hey, Dennis Haysbert did a fantastic job. Okay, here's a question for you guys. Which one of you guys reminds you of me more than the others? Any of them? It didn't have to, you know, none of you? I would say Mariah, but no? No?
Mariah?
Let me get your take on it. Any of your brothers remind you of me in mannerisms and just kind of walking, and you see them walk and you hear them talk and you kind of think like, yeah, kind of like my dad's?
I'd probably say Chris.
Okay. Chris?
Yeah.
Now, Chris and Josh work you out. And how are they in terms of their temperament when they're working you out? Do they keep a pretty even temperament when they're working you out, or can they get a little raw sometimes when they're working you out? I'm just curious because I was pretty raw. I was pretty raw myself. Go ahead.
You're god awful.
Hold that thought, Josh. Go ahead.
I would say it's an even temperament.
Even tempered, good. Glad to hear that. Oh. Josh, what were you going to say? Can you give me an example, Josh? Can you give me an example of just kind of one of your worst memories of me working you and Mo? It's usually you and Mo together. I got a bunch of them. What's your worst memory of Dad working you out?
Honestly, it is pretty stupid because you end up hurting yourself. It was just so dumb. So you shot a jumper, and then the ball bounced and hit you in
that
the face.
That big toe.
And you got so mad, decided to kick the cooler, break your god dog toe. And just like, that's what you get, stupid. Like, what? The toe all black and put blue. Like, just over here, just being just dramatics and all that. Yeah, like, that's what you get.
Yeah, Josiah, don't tell me
about it. Now you're asking me to walk you to the car.
So Josiah has two sons. Josiah's got a couple of sons. Marky and Joey are going to be just elite level athletes, man. Just don't follow my pattern. I remember, so I was working out Josiah. I think Josiah, we were at UCLA at that point, but he was like, Dad, I want to get on the track. I want to do this. I want to do that. And we got on the track and there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of dynamics at play. Me and his mom separated or whatever. And he thought he ran a certain time in the mile, and when I told him what the time was, he got so pissed off at me, guys. That's bullshit. I was faster than that. I was like, well, Joe, that's bullshit. It was over at West LA
College. Come on now. I remember.
You walked off the track and You walked off the track and never came back. That was the last time you asked me to work you out, man.
You're crazy. Death stop. we had other workouts, but I'm sure all of us, for me personally, I can remember you and Chris back in the day. I think all of us have, you know, there's several different versions of Marcus Johnson, right? I think none of us tolerate disrespect. It could be a look, a word that somebody may give us that'll, you know, set us off. But I remember back in the day, you and Chris be doing the workouts, and it would break into wrestling matches. And we used to have random just dents and holes all over the wall from where y'all would square up and start wrestling, and then, you know, a hip or elbow would put a dent in a door or whatever it may be. But I used to always just remember walking around the house looking at stuff, all good natured, all love, obviously, for everybody hearing this. This is the dynamic of a Black family for some of those Milwaukee who may not be of that particular ilk, but just the intensity of it. But then we could all be cool after that. And I think my favorite memory of you, I think I've told this story before, high school, senior year, I was playing in a janky pair of Jordans, but I was never the type to really ask for shit. So playing in this janky pair of Jordans, sliding all over the court, still putting up 25, but you pulled up to the gym with some Garnets and in your typical kind of nonchalant way, like held these new pair of Garnets with the air bubble, like, yo, man, you want these? And I'm like, hell yeah, I want those. Like, what? But you were good for that thing too. Just coming to the crib where, you know, like, oh man, I got, you know, whatever. Like just shit that obviously we wanted, kind of playing it off like we didn't want the stuff.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious. So Mariah, do you me as a kind of ersatz fake assistant coach JV, how was I as your coach? Was I pretty hard on you and Josh back in those days, man?
So yeah, I would say you were definitely hard, definitely getting off in us and all that. But I think it was to our betterment. You weren't letting us get away with stuff. Wasn't cutting us slack. I actually, before the Crenshaw stuff, I thought about when we were training in Culver City, and I thought about this one line you told Josh. We were doing some kind of three-man weave or something. Josh is on the ground in the middle of the summer sun in Los Angeles, kind of just getting himself together. My dad's rushing him to get up, rushing him. Josh's like, man, I'm in a daze, man. I'm in a daze. And then my dad, you know, I don't know if you remember that. Dad going to say, come to the nights. Like, just so simple. Like, this boy got a concussion. Got a concussion or so.
Probably like my first
come
committee.
To the nights. Hey, come to the nights. Nights. Man.
Leave the days. Leave the days and come to the nights, son.
But you were hilarious. definitely raising some hell at Crenshaw while we were up there. But, you know, looking back, I know that it was a lot of you just trying to make sure we got to where you wanted us to go and where we could go with our potential and whatnot. So you were definitely, you was talking some big cash money during them practices. I was saying, I got to deal with this competition. And then I got my dad on the sideline talking about zero rebounds. look for the ball. Where's the ball?
You heard that, Shiloh?
It's just you, baby.
Oh.
The zero rebounds is crazy in front of everybody.
Yeah. Okay, Si, you remember the clipboard incident?
God damn.
The clipboard incident.
You got something with all of us.
You remember the clipboard incident?
I think so, yeah. Like, you threw or broke a clipboard.
So we played in a tournament. And so Coach Anthony Collins, Coach Ant, he wanted you to play up, like, with the 17 U's. You were about 14. And he wanted you to play up. And Ant was like, he can hang. I'm telling you, Marcus, he can hang. He's good, man. He can hang. And so when I asked you about it, you were adamant that you wasn't going to play. I ain't playing with those dudes. So we went out in the parking lot, and you was all up, just adamant that you wasn't playing, and just, you know. And I had this, like, really lightweight cardboard clipboard in my hand, and I kind of tapped you upside the head with it. And I just, it was a light tap. It was a light tap. But Cyrus went down like I had a 2x4 in my hand. He went down.
Yeah, I think he caught me by surprise.
Anyway, but man,
you got heavy hands, Dad.
I mean, that's
I wouldn't have told that story.
That's not a here district appropriate story. I'm just saying,
there's dads that have done worse, and I'm saying this is like a template for you, Joe. Things not to do.
I've had to adjust, but because I'm coming LeVar Ball initially, but I have to take steps back. But I think all that. But at the end of the day, I think what we can all consistently say is that it came from a place of love and understanding. And ultimately, you got a 5-time All-Star, 3-time All-NBA player doing it to you. It's a little different than a rank and file coach at the YMCA or some random dude with a nickname like Bubblegum or Kool-Aid or whatever it may be that, you know, coaches on the weekends.
Well, I'll say this. When it's definitely, because I grew up doing while he was still a player, making a comeback. And so that part of it, being the test dummy in one-on-one, of him going full speed, of him using all his strength against me at times, right? Because I was a strong dude at an early age. That all made me the guy that I became. But
yeah.
But also, like, the reason I was so crazy and off kilter is because I had to take myself to levels outside of who, like, my age to even compete with this guy. So, and then he would have me playing against his boys. So at a young age, I was playing against the grown men. I was in the leagues with them, and I was like playing. So I used to have to like be a superhuman to try to compete and hang. And so what you guys saw and heard about is, you know, the crazy Chris on the court, it was based off of having to raise my level of intensity because I had to go against these dudes because he wasn't taking it easy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what made me the player. No, that
I definitely admired that about you, Chris. I definitely admired that about you, Chris, on the court, and I can never get myself to that level. But to see your ability to basically punk dudes and take their will to want to compete and take their heart away from them on the court just with the stuff you were doing, physicality, whatever, all within the confines of the game, but having to guard you too and deal with it too, and just like you know, what I mean. I think that helped elevate and obviously pass it down from generation to generation as we all went at each other. You know, I think we're, a seven-year age difference, me, Josh, or Mo, like 7 to 9 year age difference. So passing that level of toughness down, physicality and aggressiveness, but those are things that are essential in the basketball court.
Absolutely. So now this is like the clipboard incident. And I don't know if you guys remember. So we're at the UCLA track and so I'm running, come back, trying to get back, working hard. Chris and Joe are jerking around a little bit, kind of laughing and giggling. And so I'm like, look, if you guys don't get serious, I'm going to deal with you. So they kept on just having fun. He could probably 12 and whatever, five, right? 7 years, 12 and five. And so, they kept on doing it, guys, Shiloh. And so there was this long plank, wooden plank, just about 8 feet long. So I told him to come over here and get a squat each. And they bent over. I had this long plank. And again, it was a clipboard. I just kind of tapped him on the butt. It wasn't like a hard hit. It was a little tap. But this lady was running around the track. And she saw me. And she came over and grabbed Josiah and said, oh, my God, what is he doing? Don't do this to your kids. Don't do this. I told her, I said, if you don't get your mother's fucking hands off my son, you're going to be next. And she's kind of like, oh. And she went back and started running. Oh my God. So, I said, if you don't get your hand off my son, you're going to be next. Get in line. You want to be next? You keep touching my son, you know. So here's my favorite story with Shiloh. So I'm working Cyrus out in the backyard, and I was really, really hard on side, like I was at all, y'all. I was hard. We're working. I'm cussing. I'm this and that and body night and this and that. And that was kind of what, I don't know, but back in those days, how long ago was that? He was 12 or 13, so that was 14 years ago, whatever it was. And so Shiloh's watching. And so I'm working out Cyrus. I'm working him out. And we get done. And then so I turn to Shiloh. I was like, all right, come on out here. You're next. And she just turned, guys, and walked away. I was like, Shiloh, come back here. She shook her head, didn't say a word, just kept walking into the house. She was done.
Yeah, Shiloh.
So she's about 4 years old, 5 years old. Fast forward, she never worked out with me. 2 or 3 years later, I was talking to her. I was on the road somewhere. She's like, Dad, I played basketball today. I was like, oh, first time. Okay, good, baby. How'd you do? She said, I did good. I was like, well, you know me. Like, how many buckets did you get? She was quiet on the other end. I was like, Shiloh, how many buckets did you get? Hold on. I'm counting. 12, 13, 14. I had 14 buckets. I was like, points of 14 buckets, you know, and that's when she started to kind of work out and work on her game and get herself together. So, you know, it's been I'm really honored that you guys, I'm just honored to be your father. Let me put it that way, man. Each and every one of you have brought something totally unique. I get a chance to work out with Cyrus on acting and put my 25 years of acting training to good use. Oh, yeah. We're having a good time. You're learning stuff.
Oh, yeah, with the acting stuff. Yeah, you know, you're just helping me kind of get in tune with my emotions and all that. And I really respect Josh because, you know, just watching him work and working with him, just seeing how we can take it from like a 1 to a 10 is just one of the most impressive things I've seen, like from an acting standpoint. So just to work with both of you guys, it's an honor.
Yeah. I mean, Cyrus is one of these guys that can cry on cue. You know what I mean? He just, and I ain't talking about just a little Denzel Washington glory tear. I'm talking about snot, and, you know, and so it just blows me away. Yeah, Viola Davis blows me away how he's able to access his emotions. And so he's got a tremendous future in this business and just kind of getting started out. Got the great look, the great body. A lot of success is going to come his way. So now let's talk a little bit about music. Favorite songs that you remember hearing in the household? Is there one song in particular that you're in the car that I would play all the time? Anybody got anything? If not, that's fine too.
I got one.
Uh-oh, go ahead.
Out of My Hands. Out of My Hands. Okay. So that's I was talking about this the other day. That's one of the first times I actually got recorded on a beat, Dad. So that's something big for you right there. And then when you played it out in Hawaii on the station, I was so young that I thought like, damn, we made it to the radio. I was like hella excited and all that. But you had the cassette tape and all that. But Out of My Hands for sure. But definitely some oldies though.
Yeah, Out of My Hands was a poem that I wrote when I was real frustrated because Larry Bird, they were calling fouls on me when I was guarding him. He told the referee, he complained to the referee, get him off me, Red. Just cursing, get him off me, Red. Called 2 quick fouls. I was so pissed off and frustrated. I went back to my hotel room and wrote this poem out of my hands. No control, no say. Acquiesce to someone's demands. Rule of thumb is act real dumb and pretend there's nothing wrong. But if your senses are real, your mind's right. Kind of hard to go along. Out of my hands, acquiesce to someone's demands. You play the game, you perform the role. And then you cry real hard enough to console yourself too long after you're through. Not really a test of a man. Only when the scale is red do you find who's really who. But we did this as a song. And Joe, I don't know if you remember.
Out of My Hands.
I remember being very offbeat at one point, and you guys all laughed.
But Joe, you came in with the air guitar. Boom, ba boom, ba ka boom, boom,
boom. Out of My Hands.
Out of My Hands. The control, no study, acquiesce to someone's demand. It was just
Out of My Hands.
Shiloh, what does that bring to mind for you? Rap songs.
What is Rap songs?
No, just where were we? Belize, maybe? Little Boss Shiloh?
Oh, Las Vegas.
We're in Vegas or Belize?
We were
in Vegas, and she did a whole rap song about Little Boss Shiloh, and it was just, you remember any of those lines off that song, Shiloh?
Acapella.
Something to the east, something to the west, the best, I don't know. Yeah, but my point is this, is that, you know, I've tried to encourage the creative kind of element in all you all in some kind of way, whether it's acting or writing or singing, or I've tried to get Cy to take a screenwriting class. He's going to take it before it's all said and done. But because all of you guys got so much to offer in terms of your life experience, the way that you can articulate. And that's why, Josiah, you're so successful at what you do, just your ability to articulate and bring together and make these great observations and keep the conversation moving. So I've always tried. That's why I bring up the Aquilea and the Little Boss Shiloh and Out of My Hands. But any other favorite song, Cyrus? You got anything that sticks out to you that I might have played over and over in the car on the way to practice? It just got on your last nerves because I always played it.
It got on my nerves, but something that comes to mind instantly is like during Las Vegas road trips, you'd always play Paul Simon a lot. And I feel like that kind of helped my love for older songs, Paul Simon, like Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes and 50 Ways to Leave Me Lover. Yeah. Oh, so just playing old classics like that, I think kind of gave me appreciation for like older music.
Yeah. See, and I'm playing Graceland 5 times a week right now, Chris. I'm still into Paul Simon, Graceland, and looked up all the information on it and how, you know, he appropriated that South African musicology and made it kind of used it to further his his financial gains and all that stuff. I love my white guys too. I mean, Carly Simon and Rod Stewart and Mick Jagger. Man, I love my rock and roll too. So
that's why we can flourish in any setting.
Yeah.
I could be at a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert. I could Stevie Wonder. I could in any of these different settings. I could rock with.
Yeah, I appreciate that. All right, so now let's talk about the NBA as we wrap this up in terms of WNBA. Shiloh, who do you just love watching? If you saw her on the screen right now, you'd just be fixated in watching her and as a player. Who would it be?
Asia Wilson.
Why?
I just think like her energy is very contagious, and like she just plays like super hard the entire game, and she's just super versatile, which is what I kind of like want to be. And I just like love the intensity she plays with.
All right, next, let's move on. Anybody else? Anybody else got something for contemporaries? I mean, who all is LeBron or Kobe? Who's the best? Who's the better?
LeBron. Huh?
Josh?
Woo.
LeBron, Mo?
No comment. That's tough.
Oh, Cyrus?
They're talking like culturally. I'm going to have to go LeBron.
Well, yeah. Whatever criteria you want to use. Straight basketball, cultural, whatever you want to use. Okay, 6'7". Just, you know, you remember when we did Coach Witten's last interview and you guys were all there, Chris, Josiah, and we were at his condo, and I asked him about LeBron and Kobe, and he liked LeBron because he thought Kobe was more of a player who brought the attention upon himself. It was about Kobe. He thought LeBron was more of a team guy. So now you guys all had, I think, Josh, did you come out for a finals game? I think everybody else was out here. For the NBA Finals in 2021, the first time the Bucks have won a championship in 50 years. Giannis. Talk about Giannis. Everybody didn't have to talk about it, but anybody got any observations on Giannis and kind of how he appeals to you, what his game means to you, if anything? You ain't got to make nothing up, but I'm curious to know what your
I'm not making nothing up. No, I'm just a big fan of the dog that he is, you know. And then especially after that windmill that he did in his explanation for it, just meaning like, you know, we ain't got nothing to lose. We're not playing clean no more. Like, we got to get to the playoffs. I'm not going to lose. And if I got to do this and be that representative of what it takes to win, whether it be clean or dirty, I'm going to do what I got to do. And so just seeing that just took it to a whole nother level of respect for me as far as him as a player and as a human being. I've always been a big fan of his, especially since his rookie year in the league. He's always been one of those upstanding kind of dudes. But it was just good to see how dirty he's willing to get, and you know, just like not play that game of why fair play when we're in this position. Like, nah, we got to do what we got to do.
This is like the beginning of the new year. Last year around this time, the Pistons were 13-18. They finished up 31-20. 44-38 overall, made the playoffs, sent the Knicks, you know, gave them a scare. With the Bucks right now, as of this taping, the Bucks were 5 or 6 games under 500, but still 5, 6 games out of fourth place, fifth place. Josiah, what would you and the crew say at Gil's Arena about the Bucks' chance to make the playoffs this year? Have you written them out yet, or you still think that there's a chance?
I would argue that they play in the Eastern Conference. And as you know, the Eastern Conference in comparison to the Western Conference, I think, pales in comparison. So anything can happen in the East. And what you have right now is a lot of mediocre teams around the league, right? And I think Swaggy P made this comment about the Lakers. He was like, basically, the Lakers are the best of the ass teams, right? They could beat all the other teams when it's time to play the good team. That's what they struggle against. There's so many teams around the league. And, you know, barring that Wizards game aside, but you have an opportunity with a lot of these games to build and stack up some wins. And real quick, just about Giannis, because I know you were talking about that. Amazing player and all the other amazing stuff. But I want to go back to 2019, your jersey retirement ceremony back in March of 2019. What stuck out to me amongst all that, emotional day for all of us, amazing day to be all together. Obviously, we're celebrating Grandmommy's birthday during that time as well. And for her to be able to be there and see that moment too, amongst all the other family, Junior Bridgman and all the other amazing people. Rest in peace to both of them. But Junior taking us to the dinner, I believe the night before, taking everybody, entire family. As you know, the Johnson family, we like to eat very well. Took us to this lovely steakhouse. But just seeing your relationship bond, how much respect you guys have for each other. Junior, living in the house that a lot of us grew up in over on Innerdale. And that was, you know, as a kid, my first time going to that house was going over to stay with the Bridgman family. And then it was always my mind was always blown, moving back in that spot. Like, I've stayed here before. Like, this is where the other Bridgers live. But for that event, one thing that really stands out to me about Giannis was watching the bulk of that retirement ceremony. And he had this look on his face of just like amazement, appreciation. But also you could see in the face, at least for me, what I took from it was like, I want to be here one day. You know, this is something I want to, you know, I'm looking at yourself and all the other amazing Bucks players that laid the foundation. And him just kind of being out there having the respect for you, but the respect really just the look on his face of like him thinking about when he was going to be in that position down the road and doing the things necessary to obviously get there. So that was 2019 before you won the chip. Look, you know, my experience with Milwaukee, great city. Obviously, I'm from LA, so it is what it is. Milwaukee's my Eastern Conference team, but people there, they love and respect you. I got a lot of great friendships and relationships as a result. I got a close friend now in the Sadoff family who I randomly met in Atlanta when the Bucks were in the playoffs out there. I think 2021-ish, I was doing some work for TNT. Yeah. But just longtime Bucks fan, sit courtside. And literally, I just talked to him last night. We're going to hang out and get lunch or whatever. But just the love and the respect that Midwestern culture, I don't think you can replicate that anywhere. For somebody like Giannis to be one of the longest tenure players other than like Steph and Draymond, right, to play with the same team for the rest of your career to somebody else comes along and maybe surpasses you, this is what you get to represent. This is who you get to be in this city. You are the man. You are the MJ of Milwaukee. You are the Magic Johnson, the Kareem, the Kobe, the LeBron, whatever it may be, of that city and that culture. And obviously Milwaukee fans are going to love you to the end of time for that.
So look, it's no secret that I've probably been denied the Hall of Fame, three-time finalist, maybe more than anybody in history, okay? I don't know. I haven't looked it up, but we'll look up that stat. But I would venture to guess there hasn't been any other three-time finalists that have not been elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame. This year, I've been nominated by the Veterans Committee. Should I look at that as a kind of a backdoor move, kind of a slight? If that were to happen, there's no guarantee it might happen. I still may not get in, but the Veterans Committee compared to, you know, the ballots, first ballot, second ballot, third ballot. I'm just looking for you guys' input in terms of just my perception, how I should handle that, because I'm a little, you know, I'm a little in my feelings. I ain't gonna lie, but you guys tell me, should I, if they select me to be in the Hall of Fame, I should be grateful and appreciative. And
I don't think you should feel lesser than, because as long as like you know who you are, what you've accomplished, I think that's all that matters. Like, it's kind of just another like title almost, but we all know like what you've done and like all you've accomplished and like the legend you are. So
oh, thank you, babe. All right, all right. Well, listen, guys,
let me jump in real quick because we talked about this, and I feel like Every year for us, kind of same thing, right? You get nominated. We're super excited about it. Obviously, all you know, everybody's reaching out to all of us to say happy hour, congrats, and all that. And then comes the other part where now they I think what during the Final Four, right? They make the announcement of the Hall of Fame inductees for that year, and it's always kind of a little downtime for you. But for you personally, to be nominated for the Hall of Fame, and I've told you this, I mean that you're being nominated amongst the greatest players in the history of basketball, right? So that in itself. Yourself, Coach West, I mean, all the other amazing people that have reached that distinction, that in itself is an accomplishment you can't take away. You're in the discussion, right? Your name is constantly showing up. And for everybody who knows you and knows what you were doing back in those days, they rock with you, right? And they talk about how great you are. So just a quick story. Close friend of mine who I came up with at NFL Network, a buddy by the name of Marcus Miles, named after you, Marcus. And every time I see a Marcus with an Marcus, that's in this age range, you know the impact you had because it's such a unique name and a unique way to spell it. So my buddy Marcus Miles, he reached out to me a couple years ago. His cousin, I think, was a part of a group that was doing like analytical stuff in high schools. And basically, they were putting together like Hall of Fame campaigns for players like yourself. They did one, I think they got Ben Wallace into the Hall of Fame by just doing an analytical breakdown. Here's just the facts, the information comparative to all the people who are already in. So they have coincidentally had a chapter at Crenshaw High School. That chapter at Crenshaw High School put together the analytical breakdown of why you should be in the Hall of Fame, comparing you to other guys who got in and whatever. And it was astounding and overwhelming that you deserve to be in. So I think even that right there just shows the magnitude and gravity that kids that you've never met in your life before, high school kids at the same high school that you went to, are sitting here numbers. Spending their time breaking down, you know, the reasons why the numbers and just numbers. We're just a numbers family, right? We don't like to sugarcoat or whatever. We are a numbers family. I think a lot of us obviously can look at Chris and you and the careers that you had. We didn't necessarily get to that level, and we kind of had our own come to Jesus moments. But I'm not going to bullshit. I didn't live up to what I needed to live up to, whatever it may be. But I think looking at you, and that's just a testament to you and everything, the foundation you were able to lay in L.A., city of basketball, how you're still revered in the city, the love that we get as a result of being you, being your kids, and even Shiloh, I know you're probably feeling it now too, even decades and decades removed. Walking into that gym, there's a level of respect, you know, an appreciation that we all get even to this day. I coach high school basketball on the side, and rolling into those gyms and seeing some of the older people in there talk about you and your glory days and just the love that they have. So getting into the hall, you get in, you don't get in. Obviously, I know we would all love to be out there, you know, celebrating that moment with you. But you're a Hall of Famer to all of us. We know how good you are, and we're not going to sugarcoat a bullshit. You can just look at the numbers, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. That's why everybody who knows me, I ain't going to sit here and lie to you. The numbers say it. And had your career not been shortened by, obviously, that unfortunate, tragic neck injury, I mean, you had to play for Clippers in the heyday of the Donald Sterling era. What are we talking about, ladies and gentlemen?
I was an all-star. I was a Clipper all-star back in those days.
With the Clippers, but everything you did with the Milwaukee Bucks, when we touched down, you know, I didn't get to really feel that love that you had in Milwaukee. I know, Chris, you were out there a lot in your younger days, but 2019, I think, was my first time ever coming to Milwaukee. And just, we came out, I think, a month or two before the Hall of Fame, just to get a lay of the land, kind of figure all that stuff out. Like I said, my first time ever being out there. And just to see the love you had, we went to a Diedrich's spot, the lineup king, was that Hillside or whatever, you know, but just touching parts of the city that, you know, I think a lot of people might be scared to go through, but just seeing you roll through those spots and the love and MJ and all that
King
stuff.
Cuts.
And a close friend of mine, Michael Starberry, who's the showrunner on Colin in Black and White with me, did Legend of Chamberlain Heights with me, for all the young kids out there on TikTok that have seen that thing trending. But me and Starberry hit it off right away because he grew up in Milwaukee. He used to hustle tickets to go to your games and do all that stuff back in the day. So the love that he had for you literally helped us bond initially, because for me, whenever I meet somebody and they start talking about, you know, your accolades and all that type of stuff, I know that they're actually a true scholar of basketball and a real basketball head, not a casual, as the young kids would say. But I say all that to say, I know I'm long-winded, that obviously you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think that's any question or conversation. But you're also at the mercy now of squares. And as we know, squares are not the circle. There's a lot of squares out there who, you know, could go on Pro Basketball Reference, could look at a couple of YouTube clips, but don't really understand what it was like back in those days. You being not the original point forward, but coining that term and taking that position to a whole new level that we've seen guys like Scottie Pippen, LeBron, and others now that have followed in your footsteps. The love that LeBron James has for you, showing love to you the day of your jersey retirement, doing work with me as a result of his love for you, you know what I'm saying? Putting bread in my pocket because he rolls with Marcus Johnson. But I think these are all important things. And whether you get in or not, that's a man-made thing, right? That's the opinion and validation of others. I think you validated yourself and cemented yourself as one of the greatest basketball players in the history of the game.
You reminded me, Joe, in the 80s, about a 2 or 3 year stretch in a row, at least two, I believe. But the general managers, they would poll the general managers in the NBA and say, if you could start a team, what player would you draft first? Who would be the first guy you'd start with? And I got named that player about 2 or 3 years in a row when I was like, you know, 24, 25, 26, 23, 24, 25. But anyway, yeah, I was doing some work. Go ahead, Josh. What do you think? Josh, Cyrus?
No, I was just going to say, man, you know, Joe pretty much covered pretty much everything he could cover. But, you know, just like, you know, I just don't want you to get caught up into all the accolades and the validation of others, man, because as you see on this call, all these squares here, I know I'm sharing one with Cyrus right now because my service kind of went out. But, you know, you have the validation of your kids, and not a lot of men can say that. And so I think that's something to be proud of within yourself is one thing. And then also, you know who you are in God. And I think that's the most important thing, man. And so, you know, we're just not here for this worldly and human validation, man. We're onto a bigger path, you know. And so I just want you to know, and, you know that we love you. We appreciate you regardless of what anybody else says or thinks in that regard, man. And it's just so much more bigger than that, honestly, man. And so, you know, we've been let down before. We'll be, you know, I'm not speaking that into the universe, man, but like, you know, we love our daddy, And at the end of the day, that's what's most important, in my opinion.
As a family, we've been doubted. But hey, we have always still been about it, right?
Every turn. Doubted, but always
every turn. Always somebody not trying to fuck with us, not rolling with us, whatever it may be, but we still here getting it. And you have to come see us at some point.
We try to do a reality show. We try to do a reality show with...
Yeah, Big Johnson's.
Yeah. 10 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And, you know, just think if they would have picked that up then with Josh's work that he's done on the Tyler Perry, All the Queen's Men, and Mariah on Baldwin Hills, Josiah on one of the top ranked sports podcasts, Gil's Arena,
the top
podcast. So you know,
the
yeah, they missed out. Sai, quickly, anything?
No, I think I can understand how, you know, pride would kind of play a role in when it comes to the Hall of Fame voting. But, you know, just like Josh said, I'd say, you know how great you are, but, you know, we'll always stand behind you.
All right, Dylan, play the song for me. Do you know if we can go now? We don't have to figure it out. Nobody really owns a thing. You tell me that you're way down. All dressed in anchors. All right, guys, I appreciate you guys being here. That was the oldest girl, Jasmine. And we've been talking the last few days and told her I was going to try to get her to come on, but she had some other commitments she had to do. I told her I'd play some of her music, very talented, just like all of you are. I appreciate you guys so much. The first of 2026 coming through and sharing your love. You know, I love all you guys tremendously. You're my heart, and I'm just so proud of each and every one of you for the adults and Shiloh, the budding young adult that you are. And it's just been a
thanks,
real
Dad. You never said that before.
To be your father. So I appreciate you.
Get all emotional.
I probably want to get in. It's the first time ever. No, man, I love you guys. All right. Dear District, we're out of here.